Psalms chapter 19, let's all stand, please. We'll begin reading at verse number 7. Psalms 19, verse number 7. The law of the Lord is, say that next word with me, ready? Perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous. Altogether more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Over by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we turn back in just a few minutes into the pages of the Bible that contain your law, I pray, Lord, that we'll be reminded that the law of the Lord is perfect. May it convert our soul tonight. Someone's here that's without Christ. May it be that catalyst, that instrument that's used to bring conviction. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, may we still approach your law with the same reverence that I believe not only it deserved back when David wrote this, but that it deserves today. And Lord, speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm gonna not preach on what I'm gonna sound, the direction I sound, I'm gonna sound like I'm going, but I want to give an introduction. I want to stir your thinking a little bit, and I want to challenge you a little bit, and I want to get your, see if we can fix something that I think's broken in a lot of our attitudes towards the Old Testament law, and then I want to preach a message that I'm going to draw most of my scripture out of the law and preach from it. So I'm going to just start by making a few statements, and I want you to listen carefully. And if it challenges something you believe, then good. I want to challenge you. I told my wife, let's see, should I go there tonight and be controversial? And she said, hey, your dad just got back from town. Don't be controversial. And so like always, I'm ignoring my wife's advice and going on forward, you know, and usually I'm in a lot of trouble because of it, but it's not real controversial, but I think that maybe we ought to think about some things. God only one time in the entire history of mankind ever personally founded a nation. Now I believe that he was involved and of course is involved in the founding of all nations. He's allowed all nations to exist. The Bible says the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Three times he says that in one chapter in Daniel. We know God's in control, but only one time, let me take this a step farther, did God not only decide to select one man and create a nation, but only one time in all of the history of mankind did God say, now, in the running of this nation, you're not going to elect senators and representatives and presidents, and you're not going to have a Congress, and you're not going to decide what your laws ought to be. I am going to provide you with the laws of conduct by which you are to live. That only happened once. And of course, those laws are pinned down for us in the Bible. I'm a little bothered. I really am. And I don't know how to get us past this. But preachers have taken the book of Galatians and they have just mistreated it. They've taken the book of Galatians, which in the book of Galatians, in the first chapter, God states his purpose for teaching about the law. He says there's been another gospel presented to the Galatians, which is not another gospel. And that gospel was this: you have to keep the law in order to go to heaven. Now, are you listening to me? Listen to this. Don't miss this. You have to keep the law. I know this is a little bit deep, but stay with me because we need to learn this. You have to keep the law in order to go to heaven. Salvation by grace is fine. What Jesus did on the cross was fine, these Jews said. And I'm glad that you got saved. But if you don't keep the law, you're not saved. And by the way, that's 100% wrong. Because the Bible says that gospel that was presented is not another gospel, but a false gospel. And God, Paul, in his righteous indignation, went as far, and by the way, I think God's righteous indignation, since it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, said that if any man preach any other gospel than what Paul preached while he was there, that man should be accursed, should be sent to hell for doing it. There's no other gospel. But what we've done in this age of let's not have any laws over us, and let's not have any I don't want to be have to answer to anything. I want to be able to make my own. You know what we're wanting in Christianity is we want to go back to the days of Israel where everyone did what was right in his own eyes and no one can say anything about it. But folks, just because Paul adamantly attacks and very scholarly approach in the book of Galatians sets down certain statements, you'll have to remember the context in which they were written. And people that want to say, I'm no longer under the law, I'm under grace. The law means nothing. The law, we are not accountable to the law. The law is nothing. Don't understand the book of Galatians. Now I understand when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, folks, there was some of the laws of the Old Testament that are no longer necessary. He nailed certain these to the cross. And there's ceremonial laws and the sacrifices that were laid out in the law and the Sabbath. He even says in Colossians, he nailed the Sabbath to the cross. And I know that there's certain things that the death of Jesus Christ done away with in the Old Testament law. But listen to me, the moral right and wrong of the law of the Old Testament is still perfect.
Yes, it is.
It's perfect. And one time God had a chance to say, if I have a nation, this is the way it ought to be run, and here's the laws, and here's the rule books, and this is exactly the way I want you to run this thing. And he gave it to the hands of Moses, and Moses carried it down and shared it with the people. And he says, by the way, if you have any doubt about this, just take your concordance and just look up the word law and the law of God and read everything the Bible has to say about it, and you're going to be hard-pressed to come to me and show me any verses anywhere where God says, hey, you can throw that whole thing away. It no longer means anything to us. That's not true. I don't think we read the Old Testament law with any seriousness. I don't think we pay attention to it with any seriousness. But when you think about, folks, listen to me. I am very glad. And by the way, I think God's hand was definitely in the writing of our Constitution. But our Constitution is not inspired. And I think a lot of the laws that have been passed, thank you, Lord, that God has been included in a lot of the laws the founding fathers put into our country, but they are not divine.
That's right.
But the law that God handed to Moses that says this is the way I want a nation run, those were God's. And he went down and pinned even to the minute detail of the way things are supposed to be and what he considered bad and what he considered not so bad, and this ought to be punished by this and this ought to be punished more severely. And God had, and this is what I'm going to preach about, God had also a list of death penalty sins. God's for capital punishment, by the way. And God said in the Old Testament law, and by the way, these aren't ceremonial laws. These aren't laws concerning the sacrifice. These aren't laws concerning the Sabbath. But he said in the Bible, there's certain things that if you do, there's certain things in the nation that, and by the way, I just can't help but just wonder, you know, one of these days, God's going to come back and set up a kingdom on earth. And the Bible says he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Well, I just wonder where he's going to get the rules and the regulations for society then. Those of us in our, you know, evangelicals that are posing or masquerading as fundamental Baptists and want to say we're not responsible for any of the Old Testament laws, and they're always trying to find an excuse and reason why they don't have to follow the law, which God says is perfect, and will change you and will convert your soul, and will call, and it's amazing, but I wonder how comfortable they're going to be living in the millennium. Because I have a feeling God's just going to kind of say, okay, you know that law that all of you ignored before? Guess what? Guess what the rules are when I'm in charge? The same ones I set back in the first place that y'all been ignoring. And I want to do something tonight. Now see, Pastor, are you on a campaign? No. Are you saying that we ought to work to start a grassroots and pass legislation so that the same death penalty laws, the same things that God said someone ought to be put to death for ought to be put to death? I'm not going to start anything, folks. Listen, my goodness sakes, I'm not a politician. I'm a preacher. But I will tell you this. The things that God thought was so bad and so terrible that when he founded the nation of Israel, he said, now listen, folks, listen. If somebody does this, you put them to death. If you study them things out, and I'm going to go through them with you tonight. We're just going to have a little Bible study. If you look at those things, society today is working overtime to try to convince us that every one of these things aren't really that bad. Matter of fact, if you're against some of these things I'm going to mention today, you're a bigot. You're a nut. You're narrow-minded. You're intolerant. You're mean. You're nasty. You're rotten. If you're against these things. But could I say something? God's against them. And God is good. And there's things. Listen, I want to do this. I want to go through this tonight, and I'll tell you why. Some of our young people, some of you teenagers, you know what? You've been raised in a society where some of the things that I'm going to mention tonight have been okayed by society. The heroes of the TV shows that you watch that you shouldn't watch are committing these sins.
Yes, sir.
And by the way, it might be a good thing, Mom, Dad, just to kind of jot these sins down and then go home. And any shows on TV where any of this stuff is glorified or okayed or winked at, just don't watch them anymore.
Amen.
You won't have the TV on very much.
Right.
But I want to go through these things tonight. I know it's going to take just a little bit of time for us to at least go in different places of the Bible, but I think it would be good for us. Don't you think this would be good? Aren't you kind of curious right now? If God was completely controlling the Congress of the United States and he insisted the same things that he thought, and by the way, God hasn't changed. But if he insisted the same things be capital punishment crimes that he insisted back in the days of Israel, what would our law books and how would our law books read? Let's go look, okay? The very first one I'm going to treat very delicately just because we have a lot of the children here tonight. But go to Leviticus chapter 20 and I'm going to read one verse. And then parents, I would encourage you later on to read. I'll say some things about the other things in this chapter, but it's very difficult to read some of these verses because they are very graphic. And I don't think probably best for to be read in front of the children. So I'm just going to read one verse. Now I'm going to talk briefly. You say, Pastor, you don't have to spend much time on this anyway. I think you made it very clear this morning. Well, I'm going to make it a little bit clearer tonight. But folks, there's some things that are going on in society that's being okayed in sexual sins that God says, if you find somebody doing these things, take them outside the camp and put them to death. Okay? Leviticus chapter 20, let's look at verse number 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery and his wife's neighbor, the adulterer and the adulteress, shall surely be put to death. Folks ask me, Pastor Jerry, do you think President Clinton ought to be impeached? I know what God thinks. God thinks he should be executed. Why are you in shock? Let me tell you why you're in shock. Because you've been raised in a society that has winked at this sin of adultery for so long that we as Christians don't even think it's that bad. We have fallen for the line, well, everybody's doing it. Baloney. And like I said this morning, if everybody is doing it, it's still not right. Now, God says that there's some... By the way, boy, we need to wake up on this thing. Sex has become such a joke, and some things that are so precious to God, and some sins that are so wicked to God, has just become so accepted in our society. And I'm not going to go through all the verses in this chapter, and I touched on some of this thing this morning, but in this same chapter, you'll find not only this is if you commit adultery that you're supposed to be put to death, but the Bible says incest. You know what? We say, Pastor, what are we going to do with population explode? What would population explode? What? If we just obey God's laws, folks, I mean, America would be pretty depleted. Now, I don't know what you think about this sin, but God says if you find out that this is going on, put them to death. And you say, well, I'll tell you something, folks. You know what? People start dying for something, people stop doing it, other people stop doing it. Homosexuality in Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 13. I won't read the verse, but it says, put them to death.
That's right. Yes, it does.
Beastity, which I won't even go into. Bible says, put them to death.
Yes, it does.
Let me share something with all you young. Some of you children are saying, Pastor Jerry, what are you talking about? Listen to me very carefully. Listen to me very carefully. I want you to get this. God created you to grow up and to marry somebody. He has that one special person already picked out. He knows who He wants you to marry. You're supposed to keep your hands off everybody and that person until you get to the marriage altar. And then the Bible says marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You're supposed to marry that one person. You're supposed to stay with them, and you're supposed to love them, and you're supposed to be able to express your love in a physical manner, and that's wonderful and blessed and right inside the bounds of marriage. But anything outside of that, and any perversion of that, God never, never winks at.
That's right.
Never. And there's always a large price tag on us when we ignore the teaching of God's Word about this. So let's move on now, all righty? The first group of sins, if you can let me give you a group of sins, is found there in Leviticus chapter 20. You can read about all of them in detail later. But they are sexual sins, and God doesn't think they're funny. Now, Jay Leno may think they're funny, and you may watch him every night as he jokes about them, but God doesn't think they're funny. The second group of sins has to do with children and their relationship with their parents. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse number 18. Deuteronomy chapter 21. If God was writing the law books, if God really had His way in Congress, if God were to hand down the laws of a nation, I wonder what he would say would be a death penalty sin. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse number 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that, when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is a stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die, so that thou shalt put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Every child, every young person in this room needs to listen very carefully to what the preacher is about to say. You may think it's funny to be rebellious towards your parents. You may think it's funny to talk back to your parents. You may think it's funny to disobey your parents. You may think it's funny to have an attitude. But God doesn't think it's funny. God looks at that as very serious. And if you were in the millennium reign, we'd have a little, what we call a rock party. You see, rebellion in the 60s was glorified. I mean, it was the attribute of somebody that was their own man. It was an attribute of strength. That's what the world told you. I mean, man, you were some kind of wimp, some kind of sissy if you obeyed your mom and dad. You were some kind of freak if you obeyed mom and dad. I mean, you weren't hip at all. Don't you know all teenagers have this problem with their parents? I mean, that's the way all teenagers, that's what they say. All teenagers don't. Godly teenagers obey their parents. Godly teenagers listen to their parents. Godly teenagers have a sweet attitude at home. Godly teenagers have helping hands. Godly teenagers have a happy heart. Godly teenagers say, yes, ma'am. And godly teenagers say, yes, sir. And godly teenagers obey mom and dad. That's what godly teenagers do. Folks, turn off the TV. Your kids are learning about how the world thinks a teenager ought to be from watching teenagers on TV. And you know the sad part about it is we watched it sitting along beside them for so long that when they act that way, we think, well, you know, that's just the way it is. I'm so tired of hearing parents say, well, I just don't know what to do with them. I just don't know what to do with them. Well, you know, that's just the way they are. I know what to do with them. Let's go on, Exodus chapter 21. You mean they killed them? That's what they did. Some of you boys, listen to me. Some of you boys need to go home. Or I wouldn't, if I was you, I'd be so scared I wouldn't even wait. And I'm not talking about scared of me. I'm not talking about scared of your parents. I'm talking about scared of what God thinks about this thing. Some of you, right after the service, or during the invitation, or as soon as you get home, you owe your parents an apology, you owe your mom an apology, you owe your dad an apology, and I mean, you need to get right with God and get right with them tonight. You know, Pastor Jerry, that the laws protect us children now. They may protect you against being stoned, but let me assure you something. The Bible still says, children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And I've watched the hand of God reach down and touch more than one young person in my life. Now, you better get this thing squared away in your head and in your heart. Exodus chapter 21 and verse number 7. Well, I got the, no, 17, I'm sorry. 17. I had my one written so little it looked like a comma. Exodus 21, verse 17. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21, verse number 15. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You say, Pastor Jerry, my goodness sake, kids wouldn't curse their fathers and mothers. You better wake up.
Yeah, amen.
It might not hurt you to do what I did for a few years and drive a public school bus and just listen.
Yes.
Children would smite, you mean hit? You mean hit their mom and dad? I dealt with a lady for over a year in Brazil whose teenage daughter beat her up on a regular basis. Didn't have a father. Well, did have, but gone. Anytime she'd tell her daughter she couldn't go out at night, try to keep her from going out, she'd get on top of her and beat her. It's where we're at, folks. It's where we're at. Well, you say, that's the world. Oh, you'd be surprised what happens in Christian homes. You'd be surprised what you hear Christian teenagers say about their mom and dad.
Yeah.
I mean, heaven forbid, mom and dad tell you know something. You go in your room and under your breath you curse them and tell them what you think of them and talk dirty about them. Go to your friends and tell your friends what jerks your parents are and talk dirty about them. I'm telling you something, buddy. You better be scared, because God hears what you say under your breath, and God hears and sees what you think in your mind. And it's not funny to him. You see, boy, we need a revival in America of children just being decent to their parents and loving to their parents and obedient to their parents.
Absolutely.
Let me say something to the parents. Listen to me. Don't miss this. If you're not obedient to God, don't expect your children to be obedient to you.
That's right. Absolutely.
One of the biggest problems, well, Pastor, I just don't know what to do. I know what you can do. You can get right with God. You can start obeying God. And you know what? You might start reaping what you sow.
Amen. That's correct.
Amen. And boy, these young people, listen to me. This is important. Can you imagine living in a culture? Can you imagine living in a country where this was the law?
Yeah.
Be a lot of kids nowadays never see their 13th birthday. Amen? Say, Pastor Jerry, this is fanaticism. This is crazy. Well, all I can tell you is only one time in the history of mankind did God get to write the laws.
Yeah.
And this is what he wrote. And if our minds can't quite grip this, then who do you think's messed up?
Amen.
Exodus chapter 22. Well, this is interesting. Let's keep going. Maybe some of you young people, well, Pastor Jerry just overreacts, man. Sometimes if he don't think we're treating our parents right, or he hears something, he just overreacts. Folks, I'm not overreacting. If I didn't kill you, I underreacted. You ought to congratulate me. I mean, from this time on, I ought to be known as the kindest man in the universe. I mean, you know, I cut you more slack than God would have. Exodus chapter 22, verse number 20. Boy, we're messed up. You get to reading this and you think, boy, you know, America's still a godly country. Heaven help us. Exodus chapter 22, verse 20. He that sacrificeth unto any god, save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. Any person that is involved in any false worship or sacrifices to any other god except the true God, the Bible says, put him to death. Well, in America, we have to be tolerant of all religions. Separation of church and state, separation of church and state. We can't allow just Christians to have an influence here. We've got to present all of the various religions of all of the various cultures and all the... God didn't write that. No, he didn't. And see how mixed up we are? We have fallen for it. We say, well, you know, that's right. That's right. We've at least got... I mean, even if I don't agree with these other religions, we've got to be fair about it. Well, hello?
That's right.
Fair about what? O Cain, false worship?
That's correct.
God wasn't tolerant about it. He said, if you're my nation, I'm your God. And if I'm your God, you're going to sacrifice unto me. And if you sacrifice any other God, you're to be put to death. I wonder what kind of a nation America would be had we... Really? You say, well, we founded a Christian nation. Well, we involved God, some. But don't fool yourself into thinking that the original Constitution and all of those things are... No, folks, that's not the Pentateuch. Okay? Exodus chapter 22. This is interesting. Verse number 18. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now go to Leviticus chapter 20. Thank you, Lord. The last verse in chapter 20, Leviticus 20:27. A man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone him with stones, their blood shall be upon them. Well, we're narrowing things down. So much for the psychic hotline.
Amen.
I don't know where Nancy Reagan's going to get her advice now. What are we going to do?
Yeah, amen.
Hello? I mean, we've had presidents' wives.
That's right.
Calling people with familiar spirits, getting advice, and then trying to influence their husband. And I'm talking about the president that probably in the last 20 years we most revere. Are you listening to this? Maybe we're a little bit farther off than we've always thought we were. What are you doing, Pastor Jerry? I'm trying to hit a reset button here. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to get Christians to begin again to go back to the Bible and find out what's right and what's wrong. And what God thinks is just wrong and what God thinks is so bad that he says people that do involved in this stuff ought to be put to death. I'm trying to wake us up a little bit here and cause us to realize that palm reading isn't a joke and Ouija boards aren't a joke and seances aren't a joke and God didn't think any of that stuff was funny. If you'd have been found doing that stuff and movies and rock music that involves witchcraft and they do,
yes,
and Satan worship and they do,
hideous
rock and roll groups with their and you kids walking around with t-shirts on, glorifying people that worship Satan.
You're right.
What's wrong with us? Heaven help us. Now, God doesn't think these things are funny. Exodus chapter 21. Hey, we're doing pretty good. We don't have too much farther to go. I'm trying to hit a reset button, folks. I want us to wake up. Man, we need to get back to the Bible so we can start deciding what's right and what's wrong. Verse number 12. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he might die. And what this is teaching is that premeditated murder, death penalty. You say, well, finally, there's one that we got on our books. Some places, a lot of our states don't have that on the books. A lot of the states that do have it on the books never carry it out. You ever wonder why murderers have more rights than victims? That just amazes me. I can murder somebody, cut and dried, witnesses, everything else, and he can sit in jail 15 years while we're paying the tab. Amazing. Amazing to me. Why is Charles Manson still alive? Anybody want to explain that to me? because we're in a crazy society. We're messed up. We're so far away from what God thinks and what God believes that we, you know, oh, we're a Christian. We're a what? We're a what? Premeditated murder. Now, God does give allowances, and we can't do a whole study on this, but if a person accidentally kills another person, or, you know, manslaughter, there needs to be, and our laws are correct on this, there's a difference between manslaughter and premeditated murder.
Yes.
And there's different degrees of murder, but somebody that premeditatedly plans and comes upon their neighbor with the intent to murder, then the Bible says put them to death.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So all of these people that pick it outside at midnight, of these poor people, I mean, the guy killed two women and their children, and but they're picking outside, and they got signs that say, capital punishment is murder.
Mm.
Capital punishment is murder. They need to find a Bible. You see. Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 22. I preached a message here about a year ago entitled Four Groups That We Should Never Forget, and two of those groups are in this verse. Ye shall not afflict widows or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Wow. Man, God's kind of rough. Every once in a while, I'll watch the news, and there'll be a story coming. You know, there's bands of people that travel all over the country doing this, but what they do is they travel around, and they find where older people live, and they come to their door and knock on their door with the pretense of trying to offer them some kind of service, and the only reason they're there is to rip them off. And if we ever do catch them, it seems like all they ever do is get a slap in the hand. I mean, they take some of these older folks, they take their whole life savings from them. You've seen some of the reports on some of these telemarketing schemes that get some of these older folks on the phone. God bless them. You know, they're frail, they're old. Some of them don't even have all of their complete mental facilities. And they work them over and put them on grilled chips and browbeat them out of giving them their credit card numbers and their bank account numbers and take every dime they got from them. Listen to what God says this. I'll tell you what. You do that, and he says, forget about the people putting you to death. I'm going to come get you.
Yes, that's right.
God said, don't worry about it, guys. You don't have to take this one out. So I'm personally taking this one. This is my case. I'm taking care of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God's still taking care of it. Let's go out of our way to be kind to older people. Let's never take advantage of an older person. Let's never take an advantage of a child that doesn't have a father. Let's be loving and kind and helpful to that person. Let's never take advantage of them. It's kind of an interesting. Are we at Exodus chapter? Or let's go back to chapter 21 of Exodus. Just got a couple more and we'll be done. I think this is interesting because of the day in which we live. Look at verse number 28 of Exodus 21. I told you I wanted to give them all to you, so this is one of them. If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox, listen to this, was wont to push with his horn in times past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner shall also be put to death. Very interesting. Pastor, I've got a bull or I've got a cow, and it's just, I'll tell you what, it's just got a mean streak and it's wild, and two or three times in the past it's trying to hurt somebody. And you know what the Bible says? You keep an animal like that around, and it does get out and kill somebody, you're supposed to be killed. I'll tell you something that bothers me terribly, angers me. People are training and keeping animals on their premises that are designed to hurt people. I couldn't be a judge anyway. I mean, I'd get fired the first day I was a judge. But somebody drags somebody into my court and they had a couple of pit bulls or, listen to me, Christians, listen to me. I don't know what you're so afraid of. But no person in the world ought to have an animal that's designed to kill somebody else. I'm so tired of reading the stories of little children wandering in somebody's backyard and get ripped apart by these animals. Listen, if God... His law was followed, they'd not only put that dog to death, but they'd put the owner to death. I stopped at the house the other day. A guy had a truck in the front yard with a for sale sign on it, little thing on the windshield that you had to get out of your car to read the details. I started to get out of the car and walk across the ditch that's parked up by the road, and I look over at the garage and it says, "Do not get out of your car. Toot your horn and we will come to the door." I hadn't noticed this, but up on the driveway, he had a sign that says, "My dog can come across this yard in 2.7 seconds. How fast are you?" About that time, I'm standing there at the ditch. I got my old pickup on the side of the road. I'm standing there by that, about just close enough to that truck, and I look out, and there's a flap hanging off the garage door, and a German Shepherd sticks its head out and steps out into the driveway, and another one follows it. I'm thinking, looking back at my truck, thinking, 2.7 seconds. Folks, I got a 357 Magnum that can cross that yard. And and that day, I wish I'd have had it. Because I'd have just shot a couple dogs for the principle of the thing, I think, you know. In the world, you park a truck out in the front yard, the little sign that someone had to get out of your truck to go read, and then have two dogs waiting to kill them. Now, I don't. Lady came out, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes, you can explain something to me. What part of you and your husband are so insecure that you have to live with ferocious killer dogs and signs in your front yard?" She didn't want to show me the truck. And I didn't want to look at it. But I told her off right in the bed of my truck. I opened the window of my truck that far, and I really told her. Exodus chapter 21, verse number 16. What is wrong with us? What's going to happen? Say, "Pastor, I'll tell you what. Listen to me. What's going to happen? One of these days, some kid's going to ride by there on a bike." I don't think it's funny. I mean, there's nothing funny about that. If that somehow makes you feel powerful, or, you know, all protect, you're not protecting nothing. You ought to be locked up. And God says if those animals kill somebody, you ought to be killed. What's wrong with us? You selling drugs in the garage? I mean, what are you? This guy was on the police force, by the way. Someone better find a Bible. Exodus chapter 21, verse 16. Two more. "He that stealeth the man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." Folks, listen to me. You want to take care of this child abduction? You want to take care of this kidnapping? Follow the Bible. The Bible says if you take somebody and steal them and you sell them, or even if you don't sell them and they catch you with them, put them to death. Millions and millions and millions of dollars our government's spending trying to take care of this thing about child abduction. And you know what? We could take care of it real quick if we'd listen to God. Well, this thing has gotten to be incredible. What's going on in America has gotten to be, I don't know about you parents, but I'll tell you what, I'm sorry. And I trust God, I really do. And I put my children in His hands every single morning. But as a parent in this day and age, boy, you better watch, you got to walk guard. I'm so tired of living in society, I can't let my girls drive down the road on their bicycles out of sight without the fear I'll never see them again. Somebody gets caught doing this or hurting a child or involved in these crimes, and you know what? They just get their hands slapped. Something's wrong with us. Something's wrong with us. And let me just go a step further there. The war of all wars in our nation's history that cost us the most human lives would have been avoided if our founding fathers, who founded this on Bible principles, would have stopped us. And there was a group of them that wanted to hedge on this thing of slavery. And we're still paying the price of them ignoring what the Bible said about going somewhere and stealing somebody and bringing them back and selling them. Listen, the first time somebody brought a boatload of slaves to our thing, somebody should have taken the captain and crew off there, lined them up against the wall, shot them, put somebody else on that boat, taken them back to the country they came from, and put an end to it. You understand how many of our nation's problems right now are bound in the fact that a generation decided to ignore what the Bible says about this thing?
Absolutely.
Boy, it's interesting. And the very last one, Leviticus 24, we'll be done. Leviticus 24:16. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. What's the Bible say there? It says, if you use God's name in vain. By the way, that's what it says. This starts all the way up in verse number 10 with a specific instance that happened in the camp of Israel, where someone who was a slave in the camp of Israel, or a maid, or a servant in the camp of Israel, had a son who cursed and blasphemed God. And they came to Moses and said, what are we supposed to do about it? And Moses said, well, let's see what the law says. And the law said, if you blaspheme God's name, you get stoned. Pastor Jerry, I've heard you, man, you did it this morning. I've heard you say it before. You go through this thing where how many times in Jasonville does God have to listen from heaven and hear his name cursed, and people say God this and God that and use his name in vain? And then you say how many times in the state of the county, all of Greene County, in one 24-hour period does God have to listen? And how many times, and why is that? Why are you making such a big deal about it? I mean, man, I even slip and say it once in a while. What? Do you understand how serious it is to God for us to say his name, God? And then, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Something I don't understand happened here about 20 years ago. It started. People thought they were cool, starting to take Jesus Christ's name in vain.
Yes, it did.
Say, why does that drive you nuts, Pastor? Why does that bother you? Why are you very outspoken about that? Why is it somebody does it in front of you, you rebuke them? I'll tell you why. Because God don't like it. That's my God. That's their creator. Man alive, you ought to have enough decency not to take his name in vain. I mean, man, someone that's not saved, I mean, somebody that's not even saved ought to have enough decency not to curse God. Now, what are you saying, Pastor Jerry? What was this exercise about tonight? This exercise was an attempt to help us in 1990 wake up a little and realize that the things that the world are telling us, young people, you listen to this, the things that the world are telling us and what the TV is telling you and what some of your friends want to tell you is not that bad. God thinks it's terrible.
Yes, he does.
And he thinks it's bad enough that when he founded a nation and when he wrote the laws, he said, if you do these things, you ought to be put to death. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we would glean from this message tonight a renewed respect for the law of God, that we would look at sins that have become accepted in our society and, Lord, in our day, and we would refuse to accept them. We would look within our own lives, and we would examine very carefully for any evidence of any of these sins or attitudes. I pray for teenagers tonight, Lord, young people that ought to get to an altar of prayer tonight and get right with you, and then after the service need to find mom and dad. I pray for them, God. I fear for them. Lord, I've tried to stand in the gap, and I've pleaded for mercy, but, Lord, it's hard for me to plead for mercy very long, right in the face of what your law says. And these kids need to get right with God. There's a young person, no doubt, in this room, this side. There's a young person this week that's under their breath cursed their mother, their father. Young person that's had a rebellious attitude towards mom and dad. And Lord, it's just not that sin. It's all these sins. Help us, Lord, to examine our lives. Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Holy Spirit, be very specific tonight. Take your finger, Lord, as only you can do, and point very specifically into each of our hearts. Lord, help us to look at sin like we've never looked at it before, and look at ourselves perhaps like we need to look at ourselves. And Lord, I pray that you would bring great benefit from this message in the hearts and lives of your people. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.